Welcome to the Naturalistic Nurse Podcast with Audrey Christie, helping you shift from Band-Aid fixes to root cause resolutions that stick.
Hey friends, today we're talking about hormones and hormone balance. You see, hormones are not just all about menstruation and hot flashes. They're actually chemical messengers that play a role in our body, influencing nearly every function that we have. Things like temperature, so your temperature regulation, heartbeat, blood sugar, fertility, mood, and sleep patterns. They're very interconnected and they almost have a domino effect. So it's something that you really need to pay attention to. And it's not just one hormone that you can focus on. Generally, we need to pay attention to several. So today we're going to talk about sleep hormones, stress hormones, reproductive hormones, and mood hormones, and learn how all of these are interrelated, as well as things that you can do with some diet, lifestyle, and even some essential oil strategies to bring multiple hormones back into balance simultaneously. Let's talk about where hormones come from, because even though a lot of people know that hormones come from the endocrine system, right? That's the system responsible for synthesizing and secreting hormones. There isn't really a set group of organs that just produce hormones, because there are some that are only chemical messenger producers, like the adrenal glands, right? But also things like the reproductive system that has two jobs, right? It has the function of reproduction as well as it produces and synthesizes and secretes some hormones. It's kind of weird, right? But the main organs of the endocrine system are the adrenal glands, the thyroids, the pancreas. But again, a lot of different organs, almost every organ in the body plays some role in hormone production and chemical messengers sending and receiving. Even our adipose tissue, our fat, plays a role in the secretion, storage, and release of certain hormones. So today we're going to talk about the sleep hormones, cortisol and melatonin. We're going to talk about stress hormones, cortisol and adrenaline. We're going to talk about reproductive hormones, estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. And we're going to talk about mood hormones, serotonin, dopamine, and even though it's not always thought of, but estrogen and cortisol, because those affect mood as well. You could really split these up or to overview what we're going to talk about: sleep, stress, and PMS. So I'm hoping at the end of this episode, you see the patterns and how all of these are related. It's really common to have more than one hormone out of balance. So as we talk through different health challenges over this episode, you're going to hear a little bit of repetition and overlap with the various hormones, but that's good because I want you to know how it's all connected. And the good news is, like I mentioned, that many of the same nutritional, lifestyle, and energy or essential oil strategies work to bring multiple hormones back together all at once. So first, let's talk about sleep. I always say sleep is one of those foundational things that no matter what health journey you're on, no matter what your diagnosis or your label is, that sleep is something that we have to fix right at the top of the list, because from a place of feeling well-rested, everything in life is just easier. It's easier to make the changes that you need, right? So when we think of sleep, a lot of people think of sleep as just the time when our eyes are closed and our head is on the pillow, but sleep is actually a 24-hour cycle. It's not just something that happens when you go to bed. In the morning, your body makes cortisol to wake you up. In the evening, it makes melatonin to make you sleepy. The hormonal factors that influence sleep can include making too much cortisol, making cortisol at the wrong time of day, not making enough melatonin, or not making melatonin at all. You guys have heard me say before that taking a melatonin supplement is not a good idea. It can be used sometimes to like get over jet lag for a couple of days. By and large, it's not something that you want to take repeatedly or give to your kiddos repeatedly, because it can actually cause the body to stop making melatonin. And once you're in that spot, it's much harder to turn those hormones back on. Something that many people don't know is that serotonin also influences sleep. And most of the time we think of serotonin as the happiness hormone, right? It's just a daytime hormone. But again, we're talking about sleep in a 24-hour cycle, right? So what happens during the day also influences your sleep at night. A healthy sleep cycle includes anchoring both cortisol and melatonin so that you are awake and alert when you should be and tired and asleep when you should be. So part of that is reducing cortisol during the day. You can do that with making sure your nutrition is on point, Your stress management is on point, and you can even use some essential oils to support you along the way. Another important aspect of making sure your hormones are balanced for sleep is setting a good bedtime routine. And that can include things that we've talked about in prior episodes. I'll link that on the show notes page at audreychristie.com/103. And you can dive into all of the things that make a healthy sleeping environment. The next thing I want to talk about is stress and emotions, because stress and emotions are a key part of how your body produces and uses hormones, right? And so when we think of stress and emotional hormones, we think of cortisol and adrenaline and estrogen and progesterone. And those are not the only ones, right? But they are the ones that the big players, and by bringing them into balance, it can balance the rest of the body. So we know that stress has a physiological effect, a physical effect is what that means, on the body. It's not just about feeling a little happier when we're reducing stress. Emotional distress or stress is often related to a lack of sleep, which we discussed, right? Or a hormone imbalance, which could be caused by a lack of sleep. There's many, many roots to that tree. Maintaining a healthy balance between neurotransmitters, chemical messengers, hormones, keeps our emotions and our mood balanced as well. This is really foundational. And the foundation for creating this balance is the right nutrition, getting your body moving, whether it's, you know, chair yoga or taking a walk, stress management, as well as that healthy sleep routine and reducing toxic load. I've talked about a lot of times the toxins that are in your environment, your laundry detergent, your dryer sheets, the soap that you use in your bathroom, your shampoo, your cosmetics, your chemical cleansers that you're using to clean your house. All of these play a big role in your hormone balance. So when we're talking about cortisol and mood, right? Chronic daily stress causes cortisol levels to rise, which then leads to feelings of overwhelm. And then a lot of times that moves into full-blown anxiety. Cortisol is also a fat storage hormone. It stores a lot of fat around the abdomen. So a lot of times cortisol is associated with that excess belly fat. When you combine that with estrogen, which influences mood, and estrogen tends to fluctuate with the menstrual cycle, it can also influence serotonin levels. So estrogen can cause serotonin to drop, which decreases happiness, right? And it can also cause progesterone to drop, which has a calming effect on the body. So one of the most common hormone imbalances in women is too much estrogen or too little progesterone. This also impacts fertility and the menstrual cycle, and it has a lot of impact on mood. Again, the solution here, which I'll get into at the end of this episode, is things like nutrition strategies, making sure you're getting enough healthy dietary fats, self-care rituals to reduce stress, so things like meditation and deep breathing, and all of the things that you would normally do to elevate mood. Essential oils, of course, play a big role in that. Now let's talk about women's reproductive hormones, so PMS stuff and weight. So we think of estrogen as being just a sex hormone, right? Just a reproductive hormone. But it's really important to understand that there are actually estrogen receptors all over your body, not just in your reproductive system. Estrogen plays a role in your cardiovascular health, so your heart, your musculoskeletal health, so your bones, right? Immune and central nervous systems are also affected by estrogen. Specifically, estrogen's receptors are located in the brain's hypothalamus, right, which serves as the master switch that controls three really important areas. And this is going to be interesting to you. It controls food intake, it controls energy expenditure, so think of things like fatigue, and it also controls body fat distribution. So when estrogen levels start to go down, especially as we approach menopause, they are no longer able to regulate those three areas like they used to. So if you're gaining weight around your midsection, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're not alone. Most women do gain midsection weight at this age because of lower estrogen levels. It triggers the body to shift fat from the hips and thighs to the belly area. And the shift also revs up the cells to store more fat. It's perfectly normal. Progesterone levels also decrease as we age, causing us to retain a little water and experience some bloating. Progesterone also has a calming effect on the brain that helps us sleep. So lower levels of progesterone can make sleep hard to come by. Imbalances in reproductive hormones lead to PMS, heavy periods, irregular periods. It's all connected. When we bring in the stress connection, as we've already talked about, there's a direct connection between hormones and stress. And now I want to connect the dots between stress and weight gain. The adrenal glands play a huge role in stress regulation. So with adrenaline sending us into the fight or flight response, and then cortisol shutting down the systems in favor of self-preservation, the adrenals, along with the ovaries, produce estrogen and progesterone. Now, when that goes on for a long period of time, be it months or years, the stress has a real impact on your body weight. And it happens in a few different ways. Your body associates the stress with famine, right? Triggering that eat all the things response, because we need energy to survive. We need energy stores to survive. Even though none of us are living with the threat of famine today, our bodies are still tuned into that. So that translates into cravings, binges, weight gain. In addition, our bodies start to break down muscle to fuel themselves. So you end up with less muscle mass, decreased metabolism, making it much easier to hold on to those fat cells. Now, excess weight or a shift in body composition is usually at least partly a hormonal component. So by bringing those hormones back into balance, generally weight also comes back into balance. So let's talk about how to do that. You've heard me talk about nutrition as, you know, a part of all of these things. And I want you to know that it's important to take a holistic approach to hormones, right? So eating just the right things, forcing yourself not to give into those cravings, that will help, yes, but it is not the lock and key. Using essential oils to work with the body, will that help? Absolutely, but it's not a standalone solution. Meditating and getting rid of stress, will that help? For sure, but again, not a standalone solution. So you really need all the aspects here. So let's start with nutrition. Nutritionally, I recommend people to increase healthy fat. So we're looking at getting a really good mix of omega-3s, plant-based omega-3s, right? Because fish only have omega-3s because they eat the plants with omega-3s. So let's cut out the middleman, cut out all the mercury, cut out all the plastic toxins, and just use the plant-based omega-3s, right? You can find those in chia seeds. You can find those in flax seeds. You can find some supplementation that'll do that for you. But generally, if you can, I recommend getting it from food. Food has all the components it needs for your body to be able to put that to use in the very best way possible. Increasing those good, healthy fats is really, really important to making all the hormones work together in the right way. The second thing I would do is really look at the food that you're consuming. So think of things that have hormones that cause your system to get out of whack. One of the best things you can do is never touch dairy again. Dairy in itself, even if you're getting the good stuff, right? So even if you're getting that raw dairy from some local farmer, even if you're buying the organic dairy at the grocery store, even if you're just eating cheese, that is so chocked full of hormones, because the only way that the dairy industry can get milk from cows is to keep them pregnant all the time. So by consuming that hormone-laden fluid, even if it's just a little bit in your coffee, a lot of times people will say, oh, I just eat cheese, so I'm totally fine. Cheese takes 5 to 6 gallons of milk, concentrates all those hormones and other things to make that cheese, and that's just a concentrated glass of milk, right? So that's not the answer. But avoiding this dairy will take a little bit of time for your body to readjust, but it is one of the best things you can do to balance your hormones at any age. Avoiding dairy, especially for children at a young age, is really, really beneficial for their long-term health and hormonal health as well. And then the last thing to do is consider the sources that you're getting your meat from. So a lot of times, what happens to the dairy cow that is no longer useful for dairy? What happens to the chicken that's no longer useful for egg laying? They become the frozen meat in the meat section, right? So you want to make sure that you're using the best meat and possible, or reducing the amount of meat, right? So make vegetables and fruits the star of your plate and reduce those meat options altogether. The second strategy kind of plays into the third strategy, right? So the second strategy is all about reducing your stress. Now, stress is perceived, right? So it doesn't, what stresses me won't stress you. What stresses you may not stress me. And all around the world we go like that, right? So one of the biggest causes of stressors is one, trying to control all the things, and I'm guilty of it too. And two, trying to make things not as they are. So oftentimes we look at a person and we go, oh, they shouldn't have done that, or I shouldn't have done that. Or, you know, human nature, nature in general, is just nature. So no more than can you point at the sun and say, you shouldn't be there, you should be over here. You can't do that to humans either. And recognizing that things just are as they are and you don't know what's going to happen is probably the most freeing thing that you can do for your stress levels. Now, I'm also a big fan of meditation. And I always tell people that if you can't meditate, right, if you feel like you're somebody who can't meditate, it's just that you haven't found the right type of meditation for you. So I encourage you to download. I have two guides, Meditation for Healing and then a quick guide for meditation that will be on the show notes page. And you can download those at audreychristie.com/103 for this episode. Lastly, I want to talk to you about essential oils. Now, as I said, essential oils are not going to be the lock and key to fixing your hormones, but what they can do, because essential oils are very unique in the fact that they act as chemical messengers in the body, right? Well, guess what else acts as chemical messengers in the body? Hormones. So you can see that essential oils can work in the body just like our neurotransmitters and our hormones, and they can kind of help bridge the gap. So they're good for two things, right? They're good for the immediate and quick acting relief of symptoms, and they're good for helping bring your hormones back into balance over time as part of the bigger picture, right? Including the nutrition and lifestyle changes that I just talked about. So my favorite essential oils for this are orange, cedarwood, and lavender. And you can use those for stress and emotions, for sleep, and for reproductive hormonal issues. So I like to use orange during the day and then a blend of orange, lavender, and cedarwood at night. There are additional oils that you can use to support your hormones, and I get into those in greater depth in my Whole Being Oil Tribe. So if you're interested in finding out more about all the education opportunities there, I'll link that on the show notes page as well at audreychristie.com/103. So to wrap this up, we're talking hormones, right? We touched on sleep, we touched on stress, we touched on PMS, we talked about cortisol and melatonin and adrenaline and estrogen and progesterone and serotonin, right? We talked about a bunch of those big hormones and how bringing them back into balance sort of rights the ship. It rights the system to help you improve your sleep, help you improve any weight loss goals that you're after, help you improve PMS symptoms and anything associated with reproductive health like menopause and menstruation. And overall, we talked about the strategies to do that with stress reduction, nutrition strategies, as well as essential oils to help us along the way. As always, if you have any questions, please do reach out. You can schedule a complimentary case review if you have something specific, or you can hit me up on any of the social media channels for public question asking, if you will. So thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Naturalistic Nurse Podcast, where we shift from Band-Aid fixes to root cause resolutions that stick. If you'd like to contribute to this podcasting effort of getting the word out about how you can improve your health and heal from the roots up and the inside out, please like, share, comment, subscribe, do all the things. I would be oh so grateful. Be well.